We stopped at verse 17 last time. I hope so, because this is what I studied for tonight. We're going to try to get through the rest of the chapter tonight. And hopefully next time, chapter 21's going to be pretty long, but we're going to have to break it up into two different services too. So we're getting closer to the end of the chapter, the end of the book. Paul is on his, there's some, a little bit of disagreement over the missionary journeys on, over the third and the fourth one, over which one is the last. Typically what we see Paul do on the third missionary journey is what you would normally think of as a missionary doing. And what we see him doing on the fourth trip when he goes to Rome, because he is in bondage, you don't normally think of that being a missionary trip, but it was, because he did continue the work. Everywhere they stopped, he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel to all those that would listen while they were in the boat and wherever else they were. So it never stopped until his death, actually. His missionary work continued until his death. So it's I don't know. I don't want to talk wrongly, of course, about anyone. But it always amazes me when pastors or missionaries retire. I understand some have health issues and can't carry on, whether it's memory loss or sometimes it's other cancer, whatever. But some just retire. And I've never understood that. Some, they get to a certain age and they just retire. I know that's between them and the Lord. I'm not, don't want to judge anybody on that, but there's some, are still physically able and still have their mind about them that could still do some work, but, for whatever reason they retire. And I know, many who have preached right up until the time either they physically or mentally couldn't, or until the Lord called them home. And we know some. And even those that have retired because of health issues are still a blessing to us, even though I think our former pastor is the same way. Brother Hobbs, though he's not actively in the ministry, he's still actively in the ministry. You know, whether he wants to admit it or not, he still is. Just sit and talk with him. You'll see. I don't want to judge anyone wrongly there, but there are some out there that just, I don't know, for whatever reason, they just remove themselves from the ministry. And when a time comes, and we don't see that in the scripture. You know, retirement is not mentioned, whether it's in the ministry or whether it's any job, actually. I mean, yeah, we see where men got too old to work and because of health issues, but it's not like today where we retire. And not say that there's anything wrong with that, but we still have work to do, especially in the Lord's work. Maybe we retire from our secular job, but there's still things for us to do. So, in chapter 20 and verse 17 is where we're going to start. And Paul is on his way back. He's actually going back to Jerusalem on this trip. He's not going back to Antioch like he has in the past to his home church. He's going to Jerusalem. He's going to Jerusalem for a reason. Luke, the writer of this, doesn't tell us, but it does. Just reading what Paul, the way Paul talks and the way he Luke writes this, Paul doesn't exactly know himself. He just knows the Lord's told him to go, and that's why he's done on most of his missionary journeys. Whenever he went somewhere, it was because the Lord told him to go there, because the Lord had a purpose and a people for him to see and to preach to. And we'll see as we go through the next few chapters, it's the same way on this trip. When he goes back to Jerusalem, as hard as they try, as hard as the Jews try to stop him, he still preaches the gospel. And the Lord still saves people because of his preaching, or through his preaching. So verse 17, and we'll start there. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. So if you look at your map, you see Miletus. It's right there on the coast across from Laodicea. The word, actually, the name is actually right under Laodicea on our map. And it's right just south of Ephesus. For whatever reason, they didn't stop at Ephesus. They stopped in Miletus. And he called for the elders of Ephesus to come to him. And like I think I mentioned this the last time, he had a very close relationship with the elders at Ephesus. Remember, at some point, the young preacher Timothy goes to Ephesus as their pastor. Paul sends him there after he's gone to Rome. And at least in the future from where we're at now, he will send them his most trusted confidant, his most trusted pupil, if you will, or disciple, Timothy, sends him there to pastor. I don't know, and pray about this. I'm considering a study at least on the seven churches in Revelation. It may turn into a study of Revelation soon. And we'll get into this more, but I don't believe Timothy was at Ephesus when the Lord spoke to them in Revelation. It's as though Timothy was not. I don't know if he was martyred before then. We'll find out when we get to that study. We'll look into that and see. But I've never really studied his personal life, so I don't know where he was at during all that. But verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is, like many of the sermons or mini sermons or lessons that he does, and not just him, but the other apostles, we see Peter doing the same thing. Whoever he's speaking to, he'll kind of go back a little bit over their history that they have together. And that's what Paul does here. He's reminding them of where they've been together and how they got there and all that. And he tells us here that it's not just the Jews, but it's also the Greeks. There were Jews and Greeks both in that church, as there was in the majority of the churches that had come out of the churches at Jerusalem and at Antioch. There were Jews and Gentiles. And just kind of a clarification here too. He calls them Greeks here. We refer to them as Gentiles a lot of times, but remember there is a difference. The Greeks would have been in this part of the world. These were now Gentiles. In other places in the scripture, it talks about Gentiles. It can be, in the Old Testament, the nations around, Israel. It can be Egypt. It can be anybody that's not a Jew, basically, is a Gentile. But the Greeks would have been in the part of the world that we're talking about now in this study. That these people were originally Greek citizens, and that's their heritage. So they're not Arabic. They're not what would eventually become Muslim in that part of the world like it is now. These were descendants of the Greeks. And he had preached the gospel to them. And he's telling here that they both Jews and Greeks have been saved. And they're part of that church. And these elders that he's talking to are part of that group. You got some Jews and Greeks both in that group. And now, behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul admits here he does not know what's going to happen when he goes to Jerusalem. I think he suspects, because we see that. Remember, there were those that were warning him not to go to Jerusalem because of what was there. And we saw, I can't remember if it was back in the first part of this chapter or the last chapter anyway, his one reason he was going to Jerusalem was for the Pentecost, for the day of Pentecost. So he was going there for the observance of Pentecost. If you notice, though, then there's another thing we need to watch for. There are those out there that try to say that the Lord's churches today need to continue to observe the Jewish holidays and feasts. Paul never tells the churches that. He observed them himself because he was a Jew. And it was another way for him to go to the Jews to get in to their inner circle, if you will, to preach the gospel. But he never instructs the Lord's churches to observe those holidays and to observe those feasts or any of that. Those were Jewish feasts. Those were Israel, specifically for the nation of Israel. And they were a witness for the Messiah that was coming. The Messiah has come and fulfilled all those. And there's no longer a need for it. Anyway, we've been through all that before. I won't go over all of it again, but that's what we're dealing with here. 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Verse 24, he gives God all the glory for everything. Typical Paul fashion. That's how he lived his life. That's an example for us. And then he tells them, you're not gonna see me anymore. He's pretty sure this is his last trip. Now, whether that's the Holy Spirit guiding him, possibly, giving him insight, and he's never mentioned. He did tell us that he doesn't know what's going to happen to him, but he's got to know that when he gets to Jerusalem, that it's not going to be a pleasant atmosphere there, especially when he gets to the temple to observe the day of Pentecost, because the Jews are they've got it out for him. And as soon as he shows up, we know he's going to be arrested soon. And so, I'm sure all those things are going through his mind. You know, he's been there once before on this, remember on the third, not the, the third, the second journey, he was there and had problems. And so those things are still fresh on his mind. It's been a few years, but they're still fresh on his mind, and they're still fresh on the mind of the people in Jerusalem. So they know if Paul shows back up, they're ready for him. Or so they think they are anyway. Verse 26, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. What does he mean about this? He's saying everywhere he's gone, he's preached the gospel to everybody he's been to, that he's seen. Anybody that would listen, he's preached the gospel to. Their blood's not on his hands. If they didn't, if they weren't saved, it's not on him. If they didn't follow the Lord, it's not on him, because he did his job. He preached the gospel. And that's the way we need to be. We need to preach the gospel to everybody if we can. And he's leaving in a clear conscience. In other words, he said, I've done my job. I've done the job the Lord's called me to do. The blood of those that are not saved is not on my hands. It's not on me. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He's preached the gospel to them all. And he says here, declare unto you all the counsel of God. Not just the gospel, but everything. These men that he's talking to, these elders of Ephesus, he's taught them. Remember, he spent several years in Ephesus teaching the church there. He told them the whole counsel of God while he was there. They have no excuse. If they don't believe and don't follow the Lord, it's on them and not him. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Another reason I believe Paul sent Timothy there was because of this very thing. He knew, especially in Ephesus, remember they were steeped in paganism. They were steeped in, that's where the temple to Diana was. There was those who, not just Jews, but also Greeks, who at least claimed to be believers, but they weren't preaching the truth. They weren't preaching the whole counsel of God. And Paul was concerned about that. He reminds these elders. And notice he says, to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. I've mentioned this before. Remember, the church in Jerusalem was so large that they had to appoint deacons because the 12 apostles couldn't handle the whole work. They were called to feed the sheep spiritually. They weren't there to feed them physically. That's what they needed help with. And so they appointed 7 deacons to take care of that. They weren't the only church that was that large. There were others that were large. This church at Ephesus, there was a lot of people there. It doesn't tell us how many elders are gathered here. The way it sounds, there was more than 2, I would think. It's plural, the word elders, but the way this is worded, over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers. These are the pastors. These are not just the deacons. These are not the pulpit committee. You know, these are not the Sunday school teachers. These are the men who are the overseers. They're the under-shepherds. They're the pastors. And there was such a thing. In their day, there was a need for that. As far as Landmark Sovereign Grace Baptist are concerned, the ones I know, there's not a need for multiple pastors, multiple elders. Sure, if you want to have, you know, deacons, that's one thing. There is still a need for that, I think, in a lot of places. But multiple elders, multiple deacons, multiple pastors, we don't have churches in the thousands that I know of. That would be an exception. Here, he reminds them how serious the matter is, how serious their job is. As overseers, as pastors, their job is to feed the church of God. And he reminds them it was purchased with his own blood. Remember that. That's a very serious matter. That's how serious we should take our position, our calling, and our job as pastors and even deacons, Sunday school teachers, you know, whatever role we have that is, it puts us as an overseer of the congregation, we need to take it very seriously, because it is very serious to our Lord that we take care of his people and his bride. Remember, it's not just his children, it's his bride. And he's a very jealous God. Remember that. So if we are teaching things that's going to lead them astray, he's not going to be happy. And so he mentions that after my departing, all grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. That's in church history. That's well known. There have been and still are men and women, not just women pastors, but women. There are women in certain congregations that stir up trouble, and they try to lead people astray from the pastor and from the Sunday school teacher. You know, whoever's in the lead there is there. There are a lot of churches where the women, even though they're silent during the service, are very vocal outside the doors, and they can cause problems. And it's not just women. I shouldn't pick on them. There's some men too. But this is speaking perverse things. In other words, they're perverting the word of God and are drawing the disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He's turning these matters over to the Lord. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Remember, Paul was a tent maker. At least a tent maker. There may have been some other things he did. We don't know. But we know that in many places, when the churches, there was places he went to, the churches weren't able to support him. They were in areas of the world where financially things weren't good at that time. And he worked. And he didn't mind working. He tells us that. It should be that way today. If it's necessary for the pastor to work or the missionary to work, it shouldn't be beneath him to do it. I have showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And that applies also to your pastor. It's more of a blessing for me to give, be able to give to some of y'all than it is for me to receive things. But you know, at the same time, we have to be very thankful for what we receive too. And we are. I had a pastor many years ago tell me when I was a young preacher, I hadn't pastored or done any mission work or anything like that, just hadn't been called into the ministry but just a few years, and the pastor told me if someone, whether it's a church or it's an individual, hands you some money, he said, don't argue with them. He said, don't rob them of their blessing. And that stuck with me. It's been times where I didn't want to because I knew they were in worse shape than I was. But don't rob someone of their blessing. If somebody offers you something, now there can be, if it's a little ridiculous amount, somebody's not got food on their table and they're giving you money, there may come a time where there's an exception. But at the same time, if it's a blessing to them to help you, let them. And that should be a lesson for all of us in with the Lord's people. If whether it's money or it's food or it's transportation or someone offers to come mow your lawn, whatever. Don't rob them of their blessing. And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship. And we'll stop there for tonight. So, most of their sorrow was because they knew they'd never see him again. Remember, Paul, the Holy Spirit was guiding Paul on his missions. And, there was on the first two trips, at the end of them, he always had plans to go either go back and see the other churches or to go somewhere else. And even while he would go to see the churches on his return trips, the Holy Spirit would call him somewhere else while he was out there. And he was always going to some new place. And even though he was reaffirming the work he had already done, there was always that opportunity to go somewhere else, and the Holy Spirit would lead him that way. But this time, we don't see that. And if you've never been in a place where you don't feel the hand of the Lord guiding you in a certain direction or in any direction at all, it's kind of awkward. It's kind of odd if you've come accustomed to it. And, I've moved around quite a bit. And you, when you are looking at moving somewhere and you feel the hand of the Lord on you and telling, showing you either the house you're going to go to or the church you're going to go to, whatever it is, the job maybe. But when you get in a place and you think, well, why, I've been here long enough, why haven't I moved, or why isn't the Lord calling me somewhere else? And you know he's got a plan for you, but you don't know what it is. Sometimes he reveals it to us, sometimes he doesn't. It's kind of odd when you don't feel the direction of the Lord at certain times. When you become accustomed to it. Now, my wife and I agreed that we believe this is where the Lord wants us, and we had no desire to leave. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you know the Lord's got something else, but you don't know when or where, and you really don't have, it doesn't seem like he's guiding you. But anyway, we see this with Paul, that he's, at the end of this chapter, he knows he's going to Jerusalem, but he doesn't know what's going to happen after that. The Holy Spirit's not you know, in the past he had visions of where he was going to go. So anyway, we'll stop there for tonight, and we'll pick up with the next chapter, I guess Sunday evening.